And good morning. You are tuned into Radio Zine here on Cebu Community Radio. I'm Jenny Yokoyama, your host for this morning. And over the next half hour, we are going to be looking at The Brothers Paranormal, which that music you just heard is from the original production with music there by Joe Kai. And The Brothers Paranormal is a play that is premiering tonight at Coho Production Space in Northwest Portland. And The Brothers Paranormal is a first-time co-production between Media Rights Theater Diaspora and Coho Productions. And here joining me in studio this morning is The Brothers Paranormal playwright Prince Gomulvilas, actor and producer Samson Siroth, and actress Andrea White. Welcome to Radio Zine, The Brothers Paranormal.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Jenna.
So, can we just get a quick synopsis? What is The Brothers Paranormal about?
Well, The Brothers Paranormal is about two Thai American brothers who launch a ghost hunting business in order to capitalize on the nationwide increase in sightings of Asian-looking ghosts. So they are called to investigate the home of an African-American couple who are being haunted by an Asian-looking ghost. And that's basically the plot.
When I first read the description of the play, I giggled a bit when I saw Asian-looking ghost put in quotes.
Yes.
and I wondered, what is an Asian-looking ghost? And what I thought in my head was that idea, you know, the person in all white with the hair in front. And then I saw your poster and went, oh, my goodness, this is going to be a scary moment.
Right. I mean, that's a very iconic image. I mean, you know, we know it here in the West as the girl from the ring, right?
Yeah.
But that image has been in Asia for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. So Prince, your playwright, you wrote this play. And what year did you write? Or first start your stage readings on these and production on
these? I started writing the play in about 2011.
Okay.
Developed it in a writing workshop with Center Theater Group down in Los Angeles. And then over the course of 8 years, I've done stage readings and developmental workshops of this play all around the country. So I've had nearly, I would say, almost 10 kind of stage readings of this before all of a sudden this year, a whole bunch of theaters wanted to produce it around the same time. So it's been a long journey, but very, very gratifying now.
Wow. So talking about stage readings, actually here in Portland, that was one of the places that had a stage reading back in January of 2018, which, Samson, I know that you were a part of that. Can you talk a little bit about what that stage reading was back in 2018, which I know also Prince was here for that whole process?
Yeah, it was a really great experience to have Prince here. We workshopped it a bit to see how the relations of each characters were with each other and how the storyline flowed and really the plot points and how they were, how they flowed together. It was a great experience to have the audience feedback. They really appreciated the representation, and that's really what we're about at Media Rights Theater Diaspora, is really representing authentically.
Can we talk a little bit about Media Rights Theater Diaspora? Maybe for our listeners who don't know what Media Rights Theater Diaspora is, can you talk a bit about what type of productions and what makes Media Rights Theater Diaspora different?
Sure. We focus on the authentic representation of Asian American playwrights, actors, and just really getting our voice out there, being represented the right way that we want to be represented. We started in about 2013 when Portland Center Stage was doing Chinglish by David Henry Huang. And we did Dance in the Railroad. D-May Roberts, myself, communicated about creating this project under Media Rights. And so ever since then, we've been doing stage readings. We've been partnering with other community organizations and really just trying to come together. And we are so excited to bring this production, this co-production with Coho, to our audiences.
You can talk a little bit about that, about how did this collaboration of this co-production with Coho come about?
When we did this reading, this stage reading, it was it really stuck with us, and we knew that this is something that we wanted to produce fully. And when Coho opened up their process for picking co-producers, I definitely jumped at the chance. And when we applied, we had so many conversations with Philip Cuomo and the staff at Coho, and yeah, we really jived, and here we are now.
First time collaboration. This is exciting. Yeah. Exciting for the theater world here in Portland. And as Princess, you were talking about, you know, you've been working on this work for quite a while, and then all of a sudden, in the last, like, you know, year, you are now having this rolling world premiere happening of The Brothers Paranormal. I don't know if many audiences know what a rolling world premiere is. Can you describe what that's been for your show here?
Well, there's an organization called the National New Play Network, which sort of has a formal infrastructure for rolling world premieres, which means a play will be performed during the course of a season or two at many different theaters across the country. So that's the idea of a rolling world premiere. This particular rolling premiere is actually accidental. So there is no infrastructure supporting this. It's just serendipity, or I don't know what it is. But all of a sudden, just everybody thought that this was the year that they wanted to do it. So it began with the world premiere at Pan Asian Rep in New York City earlier this year, and then a co-production in Minneapolis-St. Paul between Penumbra Theater Company, which is one of the leading African-American companies in the United States, and Theater Mu, which is an Asian-American theater company, also earlier this year. And then last week, it just opened in Indianapolis at Fonseca Theater Company, which is a multicultural theater company. Opens tonight here in Portland, and then we'll open tomorrow in Seattle with Pork Filled Productions, which is an Asian-American theater company up there. So it is an accidental rolling world premiere.
And have you attended all the premieres, or are you able to see all the productions?
Yes, I've seen them all so far, and then I'm flying out tomorrow to see the opening in Seattle as well.
And so are you seeing, what are the differences that you're seeing between these different productions? Is it kind of surprising when you see these productions? Like, because I also wonder how involved you are with each of these premieres as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's so great to see different interpretations of the play and the characters. You know, theater is a very collaborative medium. That's why I love it so much. I love working with directors. I love working with designers and actors. And to see the different nuances that different actors bring to it, that different designers and directors bring to it, has been really great. The New York production, I was there for every rehearsal, so I was very involved in that because I was still rewriting the play, right? I do a lot of rewriting in the rehearsal room, so I was there for that entire process. In Minneapolis, St. Paul, I was there for maybe a few days at the beginning of the process, and then sort of near the tail end of the process. And then I was able to come last night to come to the final preview and contribute a little bit there as well.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the kind of nuts and bolts of what's behind this production, but what we're going to see on stage, if you're able to get out there, is talking about, well, essentially it's a ghost story, right? But it's more than just a ghost story. From what I understand, it's also about healing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the play deals with it. The play is kind of traffics in multiple genres, which can be unusual to a lot of Western audiences, but it's not really unusual for Thai audiences or Asian audiences, right? So I always describe the play as a horror comedy drama. Right. So there's a lot of things going on. The play starts out very funny. It gets genuinely scary. And then it gets it could get kind of sad, perhaps. This is not unusual in Thailand. I mean, you see a lot of Thai movies where, you know, in one moment there's crazy, brutal, bloody action. And then the next moment there's like this nutty scatological humor. And the next moment it's like high family melodrama. And to Western audiences, it's like it causes us a kind of like intellectual whiplash. But I really wanted to play with that in this play. And then also, this theme of healing definitely comes in because the play not only deals with the very surface pleasures of the horror genre, but has deeper issues at play and in mind. And those are, you know, how people deal with loss and grief and things of that nature.
Well, I know at the heart of the story, at the plot, it's Andrea, your character, right, is someone who's now living in the Midwest because they've been displaced by Hurricane Katrina. So obviously at the part of that story is trauma and what it is to be displaced. Can you tell us a bit about your character and what this experience has been for you?
Delia is, she is a woman who feels incredibly deeply, and she has a she has a sense of home with her at all times. She and Felix, her husband, there's something very special about New Orleans. It's its own culture, and she to be displaced from there and be in this completely new place, I think that there is a great sense of loss for she and Felix, not just what they've lost, you know, as far as personal items and people, but just their sense of home. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I think that she carries with her, you know, always. But there's also this a fear of going back, because there's a possibility of the catastrophe that was Katrina. Mm-hmm. And I actually went back to New Orleans 7 years after Katrina on a trip, and it was so fresh and full for the people that were there. It's something that will never go away, that destruction, that displacement. So that's what she carries with her as, you know, throughout the play.
Mm-hmm. I feel like another thing, the word haunting really sticks with me, because it's not only haunting of a ghost, but the things that haunt you in life, like the past or
fear.
A lot of the play involves a lot of mental illness, especially in the communities of color, because they're not talked about very often. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to really bring that up and have a conversation, it's really important.
Not to give away too much of the plot, but how is it that the discussions about mental health kind of get folded into this ghost story?
Well, I think that there is a question early on in the play of whether or not the ghosts that are being talked about in the play are actually real. So there is this question of what is real and what is not, what could be mental illness and what could not, what could be supernatural and what could not. So that is a question that is played with, and a tension that is throughout the early part of the play, definitely.
Definitely such a real part of the experience of being in America, at least for me. So if you are just tuning in, you're listening to Radio Zine here on KBOO Community Radio. And this morning, well, almost afternoon, we are talking about the play The Brothers Paranormal, which is having its premiere here in Portland tonight at Coho Productions in Northwest. And my guests here in studio with me are playwright Prince Gomavilas, actor and producer Samson Siroth, and actress Andrea White. And we'll be back in just 1 minute, but let's hear a little bit more of that music from Shokai. Music from the play The Brothers Paranormal. Original music there, written and performed by Portland artist Joe Kai. And from what I understand, Joe Kai will be performing live during one of the performances.
We do have a lot of special events with this production.
Okay.
For opening night tonight, we do have Joe Kai performing live, and also Prince will be discussing the show at our post-show discussion. On Halloween, October 31st, we have a trick-or-treat food drive for Oregon Food Bank. If you bring some cans of food, you get a free cookie, and ghost costumes are suggested, not mandatory. But and then on November 1st, we have our POC night for people of color. It's not exclusively people of color, but it is for it's a chance for people of color to experience live theater with other people of color. On November 3rd, we have another post-show discussion on mental illness, and our special guests will be Koi Vu from the Asian Family Center, Leslie Gregory from Right to Health, and a representative from NAMI, the National Association on Mental Illness. On November 10th, we have another post-show discussion with the cast and creative team. And then on November 15th, we have an ASL-interpreted performance for members of the deaf and hard of hearing community.
I want to see the ghost costume night just to be on, imagine just being on stage and then looking out.
And seeing another ghost.
That's kind of fun. So I just want to know, this is a ghost story, but you're also saying that, you know, it's more than just that. So I'm wondering, is this a family-friendly show if I were to bring children?
I think it's maybe 13 age? Plus. 13 plus.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, when I saw the Amityville Horror when I was 6 or 7. So
did I.
Did you really?
My stepsister or half-sister took me, and I was frightened for years after that.
Yeah. Okay. So, I, you know, and I'm okay, I think.
It's definitely scary, though, because I know during our performances, there are moments where people are so scared they literally jump out of their seats.
Oh, goodness.
I'm scared and I'm in it and I know what's going to happen. There are times.
We had a preview performance last night and some people screamed, so that's great. I know that a production in the production of Minneapolis St. Paul, there were nights where people would, during the scary parts, get up and run out of the theater.
Oh, wow.
As the playwright, does that feel good to watch people running out because it's so scary? I think, oh, success, or oh, goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I want people to feel a range of emotions in this play. So it is an emotional roller coaster.
Andrea Sampson, as the actors in this production, I'm kind of wondering, when you came into the play, Andrew, we will start with you. Did you have any sort of history with maybe the paranormal or feelings about the paranormal, and has this play kind of given you any thoughts around that topic?
Well, I tend to believe that most likely anything's possible, but I think I'm most interested in the haunting of the living characters. And quite honestly, it's written so beautifully that just the character-driven drama and their journey, that the fears that they have are actually equal to the fear of, you know, possibly having a ghost haunting your house. I mean, just the emotional journey that they go on. But yeah, so I believe that I have possibly seen some kind of entity at one time or another. Maybe. Might be my imagination. I don't know.
What about Samson for you? Has this been any sort of, learning experience or bringing yourself into this?
Oh, yeah. I think, well, I'm Thai. Or I'm not Thai. I'm actually part
We've
Thai.
Switched
I found
places.
Out.
Oh, really?
Through like a Gen X test that I'm part Thai, actually.
Oh, you can claim
but,
it.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But I'm mostly Lao. But in our culture, it's very similar to Thai. But we also believe in like ancestral spirits, and we have spirit houses in our yard where we put food and things for our ancestors for when their spirits while moving on. So I've always had this supernatural element in my life, so it's kind of nice to dive into a play that kind of delves into that.
Very curious. I'm so curious to see this show now. I'm going to try to go on POC night.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll show up on Halloween. Maybe I'll just show up to both nights so that I want to be a ghost. I want to dress up. I'm going to admit it. I want to come on Halloween. It
well,
sounds like
you know,
excuse.
Speaking of POC night, I don't know that if it's particularly clear to the listeners that this play actually exclusively, in terms of the characters, is populated by actors of color and characters of color, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't happen very often. And to have this intersection of race, the Asian American and the African American, is also very rare. And I really love this character. casual intersection of race, where mm-hmm. where races can be represented and come together, and it's not necessarily about race relations or racism yeah. or anything mm-hmm. like that. These are people just going through things together, right?
I'm so sorry. I just want to give an appreciation to you as the playwright for just that. As a actress of color, oftentimes when I am on stage, that is the central point of the entire play. And this play, we get to be people.
Yeah, and to see the relationship between your character, Andrea, her character's name is Delia, and her husband's character's name is Felix, and to see the love between those two is also mm-hmm. very rare. I mean, yeah. depictions of Black love, I mean, right. yeah. very rare. Yeah,
it's also multi-generational.
Yeah.
To see what the mother and how the son, who was born in America, how they interact, and then the brother, who is also from Thailand, and his interaction with his brother that was born in America, just the way that they interact, and to see the differences, it's really beautiful.
I'm gonna make a bold statement here and say, wow, it sounds like you wrote something that is authentic. Like
yeah,
where that people of color have complex lives, have intersectionality within their lives,
sure.
And that we are humans.
Right,
humans
right.
who have emotions, and like you're saying, love that is often not depicted, and just sort of a way that, you know, we don't live in these bubbles, that we actually interact with one another, and that, you know, our existence is complex. And it's sad that is a revolutionary thing to see on stage still in 2019.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, as the playwright, how much of that was intentional choices of, oh, I'm going to have intersectionality versus I'm going to write something that is more just like everyday life, and then this is what came out? I'm curious.
I think it's the latter. I think it's more like, oh, this is my experience, and this is what I observe. Why am I not seeing what I observe in the world on stage mm-hmm. and wanting to do that, right? Because my world is populated by the intersection of race, right? When I grew up in the Midwest, I grew up in Indianapolis during a time when there were not a lot of Asians there. You know, you look at my old school photos, and it's a bunch of white kids, a bunch of Black kids, and then it's me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been my life since I was a kid. So it's like, okay, well, this is the natural kind of progression of that.
And Samson, Andrea, for you mentioned a bit, like, you know, what that's been like for as a cast to be in an all POC cast. What has that been like for you? Because I've been in maybe one, and it blew my mind. Actually, I think that was with you.
Oh,
I
right.
think that was the first time I was ever was in a POC cast was with you. And I was just like, Andrea, this is amazing.
It is. It's comfortable and lovely. I mean, not that I'm uncomfortable
yeah, but it's
with
just
a cast
different,
of white people. But
it's just
it is
a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not that it's to better or worse, but that it's different.
It is. It is. I mean, I think we're all walking in the door, just walking into the rehearsal space or the performance space, having walked through the world with our individual experiences,
yeah.
but especially being in Portland, very much common experiences
yeah.
of being a person of color. And there's a comfort in that and a familiarity, and I appreciate it deeply.
And I think there's a thinking of some kind of producers in the country that this kind of diversity doesn't necessarily sell, which is totally incorrect. I mean, just by observing, I mean, if you have eyes, you know that there is an interest in other cultures. And I mean, it's like, that's the reason why K-pop is so big. That's why we know what an Asian girl ghost looks
mm-hmm.
like, right? That's why Asian horror films are so popular.
And the other thing, too, is that there's so much familiarity in there's a scene with the character Max and his mother and their dynamic, and you know, I'm half Black and I'm Jewish, and it could have been a scene with myself and my mother. It's important to have diverse people on stage so that people can see people that are not like them and find those connections, and I think there's a lot of room for that in this play.
Yeah, Prince, you were mentioning how producers don't really believe that plays with POC centric casts are as successful. But really, I think what Theater Diaspora does is we really help change the demographic of the audiences and bring in new people who aren't necessarily theater goers.
Mm.
I mean, last night we had the Immigrant Refugee Community Organization bring in what, 40 people?
Dozens of people, yeah.
Yeah, and it, for many of them, it was their first time seeing a live theater production, and they were so engaged. It was amazing.
It was a delight to perform for that audience.
Yeah, and with our demographics in Theater Diaspora are well over, what, 50%? More than 50%. And I think co-productions like this, the being able to work with other organizations is really going to help change the faces of the audiences.
You know, we're almost out of time, and I want to make sure that our audiences get all the info if they're interested in seeing The Brothers Paranormal. So it's premiering tonight, and can you give us all the dates? How long is your run? What are the times?
So it is October 25th. Today is our opening night, and we run until November 16th. The times are 7:30 Thursday through Saturday, and then we have 2 p.m. matinees on Sundays. And to get tickets, you can go to cohoproductions.org, and you can also find out more information about Media Rights and Theater Diaspora at Media Rights, that's MediaRights.org, and TheaterDiaspora.org, that's theater with an R-E. We also have a special POC discount, that's BPPOC, the letters BPPOC, that you enter during checkout, and that's half off.
There you go. And then are there any other the socials?
Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. That's Theater Diaspora. And yeah.
Okay. Well, we are really out of time now, so I just really want to give a very, very big thank you for all of you coming in this morning. We have actor, producer Samson Siroth, actress Andrea White, and of course the playwright of The Brothers Paranormal, Prince Gomavilas. Thank you so much for coming into Radio Zine.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, just remember, you can always hear this interview on our website, kboo.fm, or you can always go onto iTunes or Google Play to download this a little bit later. And yeah, remember, you can always learn more about this at Coho Productions website, cohoproductions.org, also at Media Rights website there that was just mentioned by Samson. I'm Jenna Yokoyama. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning.